This is the commencement exercises for December 15th, 1984. The speaker at the graduation address is Dr. John Durham.
Let us pray. Eternal God, whose years are without end, and whose wisdom has appointed us to our particular places, we praise thee for this high hour when all life is illumined by the shining of remembered days. We bless thee for the great company of thy people, whose lives have entered into ours, and with whom we share the mystery of these earthly years. We beseech thee, O God, to finish the work begun in us. We commit to thy care and keeping those who leave us this day. Wilt thou grant to them light in which to walk and faith in which to act? Fashion from the heights and depths of our being worthy instruments of redeeming grace to the praise and glory of thy holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us hear now the reading of the scripture from the 34th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, Ho, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the crippled you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when some of his sheep have been scattered abroad, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the fountains and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and upon the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on fat pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the crippled, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will watch over. I will feed them in justice. This is the word of the Lord.
From John's Gospel, chapter 10, we read these words. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not heed them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. May these words of Scripture be God's word spoken to us this morning.
It's my happy opportunity to welcome you on behalf of all these 100 more graduates in December. Never have we had more beauty at this time of year, nor more fog. One of our professors was heard to say, what a perfect setting for this day. So much fog all around. Now, you'll have to decipher what he meant by that. But we are delighted to have you here. So very many of you who are visiting from miles away. Some of these graduates thought today would never arrive. But it has. We're glad. They're glad. And at this moment, I would like to recognize one of the graduates, Deborah Collins, for a presentation.
Dean Ashcraft, President Lawley. On behalf of the December 1984 graduating class, I am pleased to present to the seminary a check to be applied to the establishment of a scholarship fund. This gift will be combined with that of the May graduating class to establish a permanent fund to assist international students.
Students never stand taller than when they are thinking of their peers, their colleagues, those to come along the way, they have come themselves. And on behalf of this grateful seminary family and all the international students who shall come this way over the years, I gladly accept your gift and that of the class in May and pledge you the best possible stewardship we can muster over those dollars you've entrusted to us. This class consists, as I have counted the record, of graduates from 17 states of the United States and three nations overseas. So they represent really a microcosm of the ministry to this world. And on all their behalves, we're grateful for this gift. Now let us continue our worship by the proclamation of the word, both in music and in sermon.
Answer, Lord, send me our skills, our energies, and life itself to this one end. Whom shall I send?
To all of you gathered here for academic celebration in this festive season of Advent, I extend on behalf of my faculty colleagues both welcome and congratulations. As these graduates, your sons and daughters, ministers and friends, will shortly cross this platform in symbol of much hard work, both on their part and also on our part. You are proud of them, of course you are, but so, too, are we proud of them. They are a bond between us, and we join you in pleasure at their achievement. It is your achievement, too, because you have raised them up and nurtured them. And it is our achievement as well, because we have required and pummeled them, aggravated and pulled them into learning they did not always want. But we did so, as you have done your part, because like you, we have seen in them possibilities of great service they themselves do not know even yet. You have invested heavily in these graduates, so have we. And we are, like you, ready now to begin earning interest on our investment. These graduates are a contribution to our individual retirement accounts in Christian service. Only if they come through can we retire from the field at all. The cause is too urgent, the need too great to leave unattended, even for as much as a moment. You will understand, therefore, parents and friends and church members, you will understand, therefore, my need to address most of what I have to say this morning to them, to these graduates. I'm attempting, as I do so, to speak for you as well as for my colleagues. My former students, almost now fellow alumni of Southeastern Seminary, my new colleagues in ministry, the vocation on which you have embarked is not a trivial pursuit. I cannot believe that you think that it is, but there are around us so many who treat it so that I cannot hold back both a warning and a plea. The warning is that you not fall prey to the seductive persuasions, the seductive pressures of power and success. And the plea is that you become what we believe you will become, Christian servants. Let me add to the two lessons already read in your hearing a brief third sequence, one that forms with Ezekiel 34 and John 10 a kind of triptych. It is a scene from the resurrection appearance of Jesus by the Sea of Galilee. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John,
"Do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Ezekiel was prodded by the word of Yahweh to speak out against the shepherds of Israel. The leaders of Israel were the objects of this message. The kings, the prophets, the priests, all those who, entrusted with the responsibility of guidance, had brought the nation to disaster, the holy city and the temple to destruction, and the worship of Yahweh into question. They were to have fed the sheep. Instead, they had fed only themselves. They were to have cared for the sheep. Instead, they had taken their wool for their own profit. They were to have protected the sheep. Instead, they had slaughtered the choicest of them. They were to have been strength for the weak, and healing for the sick, and splints for the broken, and guides for the confused, and searchers for the lost. Instead, they had oppressed the sheep with force and without any understanding. In consequence, and inevitably, the sheep were scattered in all directions, with none to search them out, with no shepherd to protect them. They became prey for the roaming, surviving wild beasts. How contemporary are Ezekiel's words. Just how much they are so will become plainer and plainer to you as you take your places in ministry. For you will find bad shepherds as well as good shepherds, bad shepherdesses as well as good shepherdesses. And not infrequently, you will find your struggle to be a good shepherd or shepherdess impeded by the example of a bad shepherd or shepherdess. You will be urged from a number of directions to imitate these bad shepherds. The television preachers will be held up to you as models of success, and whatever else they are, they surely are that. They have a vast following. They rake in the money in baskets running over, though shaken down. They offer slick entertainment with a veneer of heavy-mouthed piety. And they call for remote-controlled commitment, the kind you can make without ever leaving your easy chair in your living room. Why shouldn't they succeed? They follow the packaging procedures of the sellers of both soap and beer and automobiles. Be clean, indulge yourself with less calories, and show everyone you have arrived. The Amway theologians will attempt to entice you. Their line goes like this: "You are good, you deserve good. Give God a little and get back a lot. Go into business for yourself in the name of Jesus." The Burger King power brokers will try to recruit you. "You can have it your way," they will say, meaning your way as long as your way is their way. One way is, in fact, their rally cry, and they are prepared to impose that one way on all of us in the arrogant assumption that they know better than God Himself what everybody must believe about everything. They will try to recruit you. The advocates of the open mouth will desire to correct you. with their talk show philosophy. Their idea of ministry is just keep on talking in the pulpit and out of it, being careful to say nothing, avoiding the danger of study. Why, my goodness, study could cause you to interrupt by mistake the droning, mindless flow of ministerial muzak. The take it over and run it fossils will want to turn you into a pillar of stone, a granite replica of an old-time religiosity designed to impose on today a pattern from yesterday that did not work even then. The political rescuers will desire to enlist you in their grandiose design to infiltrate the centers of leadership with clones of their own vast egos, unapologetic in their suspension of both ethics and integrity, to bring about a foreign occupation of a territory they neither know nor can possibly serve. All these will bring pressure on you, both from without and, I am sorry to say, from within the congregations you will serve. And as you look upon what they do, their numbers will impress you. Their popularity, let us be honest, will bring you envy. They live in palatial homes. They drive great big cars, one for every day of the week in some cases. They have vacation houses. They sometimes get invited to the White House. They share platforms with senators and congressmen. Some of them are said to have gold spigots in their bathrooms. They are the Hollywood stars of the religion business. I hope to God you're not in the religion business. Some of them even mean to minister, I am sure of that, and firmly believe that they are doing so. But they do not take the Bible seriously. They have sold their shepherd's birthright for a mess of politics. They have fallen prey to the easy answer for every question. They have suspended morality for the achievement of their purpose. They have mistaken power and influence for the problem-making prophet's mantle. They have embraced tactics, the tactics and the reward of mammon, typifying the church in its most idolatrous and sinful and wicked and leprous moments. They have brought on a scattering of the Lord's flock that is epidemic in proportion, demonstrating by doing so an ignorance of Holy Scripture so vast and so devastating in its infection as to be unbelievable if it were presented as a chapter in a work of fiction. This is the world into which you're going as shepherds and shepherdesses. You know that I speak the truth because you have heard and seen these bad shepherds all your lives. Some of them even did something I know none of you will ever do. They told some of you before you came here not to permit this Southeastern faculty to rob you of your faith. We may have robbed you of your sleep. I hope we robbed you of your self-satisfied peace of mind. Heaven knows we tried to. But if your faith is not now more mature than it was when you arrived here, we have failed in our task where you are concerned. We do not believe we have so failed. Your graduation today is a testimony of our belief. And what you will do in the fulfillment of your shepherd's task will confirm our belief. We do not believe you will give in to the pressures that will push you, or that you will trade the difficulty of being a good shepherd for the ease of being a bad shepherd. And in the struggle of your calling, you will by no means be alone. We could not bring ourselves to send you forth if you were to be alone. For Ezekiel went on to deliver God's message of promise. I will myself search for my flock and take care of them, and bring them forth from the places where they have been scattered, and feed them. I will myself be the shepherd of my flock. It is a startling assumption of responsibility on God's part. It is a shaming one that God himself should have to take on the work he had called men and women to do. But more startling still is the way God's claim in Ezekiel's words is taken up in the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John. In very fact, I say to you, I am the door for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I give up my life for the sheep. Against all the images of bad shepherds and shepherdesses set forth in the book of Ezekiel and in the Gospel of John, elsewhere in the Bible and beyond it, even in our own time and our own place, here is the picture of the good shepherd. It is Jesus who knows the sheep and who serves the sheep even to the point of giving up his life for them. There is no mention here of power or prestige or position or wealth or fringe benefits. The shepherd, the good shepherd, knows the sheep, an acquaintance of fellowship and sharing that cannot be achieved in a comfortable study with a pictorial directory, even one in color. The good shepherd provides a way for the sheep. He is for them a door opening upon and into nourishment and growth. There is no mention here of what the sheep can do for the shepherd in the way of salary and housing allowance and discounts and trips to the Holy Land. There is no suggestion here of giving the sheep just what they want to keep them in a happy stupor. The good shepherd gives up his life for the sheep every day and all the time, even in the middle of the night, even when there are other urgent matters. And the good shepherd struggles with the sheep for their own sake and for God's sake. There is no mention here of what the TV preachers or the power brokers or the executive pastors or the have it our way boys talk about. What we are given rather is a call to service involving both struggle and sacrifice. I am the good shepherd. I give up my life for the sheep. Simon Peter by the sea. Simon Peter, who in the courtyard of the house of Caiaphas had set survival ahead of the service he had embraced, he heard the question I want you to hear. Simon, son of John, do you love me? This is the final exam question. It's the continuing exam question for a shepherd. Peter's answer was as immediate, I suspect, as yours or mine would be, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. It's an easy answer to say, but it is a difficult answer to support. For Jesus then responded, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. And there lies the mark of the good shepherd. The good shepherd and the good shepherdess tend and feed the sheep, all the way to giving up their lives for them. I believe my former students and almost fellow alumni and workers in the vineyard of the Lord, I believe that you are good shepherds and good shepherdesses. I believe it with all my heart. I believe that my colleagues believe it. They have sacrificed, as have your parents and church members, your friends and your families, to help to make it so. Please, please to go out now and prove us all right in Wake Forest, in Dallas, Texas, next June, and in the uttermost parts of God's earth.
many families and friends of the graduates are here today. We intend to recognize you along with your graduates. So if you are a member of a family or if you are a visiting friend of any one of these graduates, now as he or she receives the diploma, as the name is called, would you stand and remain standing till that person has passed along the platform and has moved toward his or her seat again. We're now ready to confer degrees upon the candidates approved by the faculty for graduation.
Will the candidates for the Associate of Divinity degree stand? President Lally, I present to you the candidates who have completed all of the requirements and who have been certified by the faculty for the Associate of Divinity degree, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees, I confer upon each of you the degree Associate of Divinity, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the marshal, as your name is called, come forward to receive your diploma.
Sandra Chambers Ashley. William Larry Ashley. Donald Edward Harris. Will the candidate for the Master of Religious Education degree please stand? President Lally, I present to you the candidate who has completed all of the requirements and has been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Religious Education, that you may confer upon her that degree.
By the authority vested me by the Board of Trustees and upon recommendation of the faculty, I confer upon you the degree Master of Religious Education, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of Marshall, as your name is called, come forward to receive your diploma.
Janice Price Allred. Will the candidates for the Master of Divinity degree please stand? President Lally, I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Divinity, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Master of Divinity, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the marshal, as your name is called, come forward to receive your diploma.
Jimmy Eugene Baker. Francis Joseph Banas. Mark Wayne Beck. N. Gary Bishop, graduating in absentia. Eric Bjork. Enoch Stanley Booth. Barton R. Buchanan. Karen Lee Caldwell. Billy Wayne Clifton. William Richard Cole. Deborah Yvonne Collins. Perry Allen Comer. Dalvis Steve Connerly. Anthony Bruce Kahn. David Clark Cromer. Michael Jonathan Darby. Daniel Wade Davis. Michael Wayne Davis, graduating in absentia. Tommy Smith Davis, graduating in absentia. Robert Eddie Dye. Carol Ann Dragos. Melinda K. Dunlap. Harry S. Edwards. Charles Henry Embler. Ken Allen Faulkner. Sidney Roy Foster. David Edward Frober. Joy Denise Marion Gamble. Linda Hobbs Garrett. Richard William Gaskins. Sherwood Auburn Godwin. Marty Monroe Hager. Earl Thomas Hall. James Larry Hall. Ronald Clifton Hall. Thomas Caldwell Henderson Jr. Stanley David Hicks. David Lawrence Hilbish. Kenneth David Hines. Mark Stephen Hobbs. Samuel Ihimadu. Daniel R. Israel, graduating in absentia, John Emery Gerard, Jr. Ken Odom Kelly. Dorothy Shugart Kellogg. Wanda Hardy Kidd. Stephen McFadden Lewis. Charla Bayer Littell. Carolyn Jenkins McCracken. Charles Hayward Martin. Roland Dean Metcalf. James Bradley Mobley. Michael Wayne Moree. Judge Woodrow Morgan, Jr. Mark Stephen Mullinax. David Wayne Napier. Burton Andrew Oliver. Nancy Elizabeth Osborne. Michael Wayne Osment. Milford T. Oswald, Jr. William Reginald Parker. James S. Bud Parrish. William Thomas Pendergrass III. Karen Estelle Pickler. Edward G. Powell, Jr. Thomas Edward Preston. Ronald David Pravat. James Dalton Ramsey, Jr. Melvin Spencer Rice. Barbara G. Richardson. David Wayne Ross. Terry Lee Rowland. Stephen Allen Rumley, graduating in absentia. Ann McCullough Schuler. Catherine Susan Smith. Karen Elizabeth Smith. Richie Council Stanley. Charles Robert Stansberry. Thomas E. Stevens, Jr. Frankie LaFay Tanner. Ralph Rockwell Tart. Joe Franklin Vaughn, graduating in absentia, Bobby Dean Waddell. Mary Ann Booth Walker. Paul J. Walschlager. Mark Oliver Warren. Benny James Wiggins II. James Edwin Yount, Jr. Thomas Franklin Ziegler. Will the candidates for the Master of Theology degree please stand? President Lally, I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Theology, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the trustees, I confer upon each of you the degree Master of Theology, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the marshal, as your name is called, please come forward to be invested with the Master of Theology hood and to receive your diploma.
Samuel David Bowles. Robert Lawson Cook. Graduating in absentia, Harold Neil Helton, Nancy Rose Howell, Stephen Thomas Smith. Will the candidates for the Doctor of Ministry degree please stand? President Lally, I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and have been approved by the faculty for the degree Doctor of Ministry, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the trustees, I confer upon each of you the degree Doctor of Ministry, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the marshal, as your name is called, come forward to be invested with your Doctor of Ministry hood and to receive your diploma.
Kenneth Wayne Jordan. Richard Lee Peary. Stephen Wayne Richardson. Joseph Claude Strother.
Now will you turn with me in your program to the Litany of Mission, and let us join in the sharing of that word together. You who are gathered here today as graduates are not here by a simple accident of circumstance. Whether by sudden insight or gradual understanding, you have heard the same word that came to Isaiah saying, "Whom shall I send and who shall go for us?" You came to this place in order to be equipped for every good work, but it is not enough simply to become equipped. A work lies before you. This too is the word of the Lord. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The same journey of faith that led you here now leads you to other places around the world. You go to exercise the gifts God has given you and to employ the knowledge gained through study. But even this will not be enough. Faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
Let us pray together. Dear God, may your blessings continue to be with each of us here today as we depart. To those who have worked hard for this goal, let them minister as you would have them do. In times of struggle, let them be comforted enough to be healed, but disturbed enough to be helped. Continue to be the great comforter, healer, and helper. In your precious name we pray. Amen.